1 Corinthians chapter 3 in your Bibles, please, again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And this passage starts out talking about carnal Christians who try to say, well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and so on. And the focal point comes to, well, wait a minute, we're laborers together with God. We're laborers together with God. And so the Apostle Paul, encouraging them not to have divisions by throwing names out, saying, well, I'm of this group, I'm of that group, I'm of this person, that person, your servant serving the Lord, labors together with God. This is God's work, and we're God's servants, we're God's people, we're children of God, and we're accountable to serve Him as such. In verse number 10, he talked about laying a foundation and building thereon. But if you notice the last phrase of verse number 10, he said, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And if you notice verse 11, he says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then in verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer a loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. My message this morning seeks to answer a question. We'll get back to this passage of Scripture as we go. But my message seeks to answer a question that seems like it merits an obvious answer. The answer, I think, is both simple and complex, depending on which way one looks at it. It's interesting to listen to people talk. When trying to stress the importance of something, we'll often say, now here's the thing. Now here's the main point. And these phrases may be said several times, revealing the main point was not the main point after all. I was talking with someone this week. Doesn't attend the church here, but just having a conversation, they kept telling me the main point over and over again. Thought that was interesting. And they never did get to the point. When it comes to people and spiritual things, we may at times be heard saying something that sounds like this: salvation is all that matters. Sometimes people, we may hear, about others, well, they're saved, that's all that matters. People tend to resign to a statement like this, well, it doesn't matter what kind of a church a person is in as long as he is saved. But is that so? Is salvation all that matters? Let me give some thoughts to consider answering that question this morning. Is salvation all that matters? Let's just pause for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today that we have your word. And Lord, we do want to major on majors, things that are important. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that as we preach the word this morning, the Holy Spirit would stamp upon our hearts those things which are important to you and to us to apply today. Again, I pray if there's anybody here that does not know Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, that they would realize the need and come to Christ today. I pray that every Christian would be enriched and strengthened today in their faith and faithfulness. We ask for your help in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Is salvation all that matters? I said the answer is both simple and complex. Is salvation all that matters? You're wondering where I'm going, aren't you? Is salvation all that matters? Well, let's think first of all regarding destiny, okay? Regarding destiny, where will your soul be for all eternity? Salvation is all that matters when it comes to one's eternal destiny. I think you'd agree. What shall it profit a man, Jesus said, if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? When it comes to destiny, what matters most is whether or not a person is saved. You see, when life ends, there's no intermediate process to change a destiny. When life ends, Jesus illustrated this in the story he told, which was not just a parable. I believe it was two real people, Lazarus and the rich man. When Jesus told about Lazarus and the rich man, when the rich man died, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. There was no process of time elapsed between death and destiny. Lazarus also died, Jesus said, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. I shared that thought yesterday with Mrs. Schroeder's sister or daughter as we sat there and talked about her daughter and son and son-in-law as we sat and talked and said, you know, we're talking about what happens when a saved person dies. And, you know, the Bible says to be absent from the body, death is the separation of the spirit and soul from the body. That's physical death. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? And we shared, I shared some thoughts, you know, talked about the Lazarus being carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. We who are alive when the rapture takes place are going to be translated into heaven just like that. The twinkling of an eye, that's how fast it will happen. Destiny, when one dies, is determined while one lives. It wasn't predetermined in the mind of God who will go to heaven, who won't. What is predetermined is the opportunity to receive Christ and go to heaven or reject Christ and experience one's own condemnation for their sin in hell. And when it comes to destiny, salvation is all that matters. I've done many, many memorial services, and what a blessing to be able to say to the family, this person gave clear testimony of having received Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen? What a blessing to do that. I was talking with one of the helpers at the funeral home the other day, and as the family of Mrs. Carter came in for the viewing, they were talking, hugging, laughing, smiling, greeting one another. And I said to the gentleman, I said, have you ever noticed the difference between people who know the Lord as their Savior and people who don't at the funeral home? And he says, it's an amazing difference. We sorrow not as others which have no what? Hope. We do sorrow, but not as others who have no hope. Salvation is all that matters regarding destiny. If you're here today and you've not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, your destiny would be hell. You say, well, who do you think you are telling me? I'm just repeating what the Bible says. And acknowledging that's where I know I was headed. August 13th, 1976, I got down on my knees outside of a guard shack, Fort Hood, Texas, and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior because I knew I was headed to hell. Thank God he hears us. Do you remember the Jewish leader named Nicodemus in the Bible in John chapter 3? He came to Jesus privately to inquire of him. He knew the Old Testament law. No doubt he instructed others in it. He was faithful in his religion, but Jesus pointed him to that which mattered above all else except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Period. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. When it comes to destiny, salvation is all that matters. And listen, we've got to make sure that people, children growing up and people around us understand that there is a destiny after life. It's either heaven or hell, and they can determine where they're going by what they do with Jesus Christ. Notice in our passage, in verse number 11, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The only way to make sure of our destiny is Christ. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, is salvation all that matters? Well, yes, regarding destiny. If you talk to an unsaved person, you could get them to come to church every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. Would to God all saved people would, right? You could get them to come to all the services, give the offering, join in prayer meeting. But if they didn't get saved, salvation is all that matters concerning their destiny. And so we got to keep that always in mind. Unsaved people need Jesus more than they need church. Just getting unchurched people churched doesn't get them to heaven. They need Christ. And so, is salvation all that matters? Well, certainly concerning destiny it is, regarding destiny. Let's look at the second thing. Regarding religion, broad thought. Regarding religion, is salvation all that matters when it comes to religion? Now, when it comes to the matter of what's presented for salvation, yes, that matters. But we have a general philosophy that it really doesn't matter what religion a person's a part of as long as they're saved. But nothing could be further from the truth. Is salvation matter all that matters when it comes to religion? Jesus said this. You can look there if you want to. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Here Jesus said, it does matter, even for people that are heaven-bound, what one is teaching. It matters. Just that somebody's saved is not all that matters when it comes to that in which he's involved religiously. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, he said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There are some that would hold the tenets of salvation by grace through faith, but their primary teachings are the doctrines of men, not the clear word of God. I want everybody to always understand our textbook is the Bible. Amen? If I want to find my purpose for life, I'll read the Bible. Or my purpose for the church, I'll read the Bible. It's pretty well spelled out there. The Bible's the textbook. But Jesus said some worship in vain. How? Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. So salvation isn't all that matters. What one's involved in religiously does matter. It does matter where we go for instruction in religion. Religion is the practice of a belief system. That's what religion is. Someone asked me, if you say, or you must be religious because you think you're going to heaven. It's not being religious that makes me think I'm going to heaven. It's what I've done with Christ. Amen? It's what that I've received Christ that makes me think I'm going to heaven. Know that I'm going to heaven. It does matter where we go for religious instruction. Religion being the practice of a belief system, Paul spoke of those who had a form of godliness. In other words, they had things in place that looked right, but they denied the power thereof. It does matter, that in which one is involved religiously. Would you look at Philippians chapter 3 with me for just a moment? Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 16 when you're there. Philippians 3:16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the together of me, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and tell you now even weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, their inward thoughts, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Paul said there are some who walk religiously, but they're not the same. And he said, mark it. Because you have us for an example. What he's given us in the scripture, Paul wrote half of the New Testament, what he's given us in scripture is that mark, that dividing point that we talked about a while ago, the 3-4-5 rule. It's the point, the reference point, the Word of God. Salvation, in answer to the question, is salvation all that matters? Salvation is not all that matters when it comes to the practice of our faith, our religion, our church. If a church does not regard the scriptures as the final authority, it does matter. There are people who know the Lord as their Savior, but the affiliation they have church-wise does not hold up to the teaching that the Word of God is the final authority. Is salvation all that matters? Well, in that instance, regarding destiny, yes. Regarding the practice of religion, no. If a church doesn't regard the scriptures as sole authority, it doesn't matter. What Bible is used, I think, is important. I don't want an incomplete or altered Bible. I think it matters. In speaking with a lady whom I've known for several years this past week, a person who claims to trust Jesus alone for her salvation, I won't doubt that. Someone tells me I've trusted what Jesus did alone to save me, I'll accept that for destiny. But regarding religion, the statement was made to me, but I still believe in all the sacraments. Aesthetically. Well, does it matter? I think it does. Because what is taught about sacraments is that there is a saving grace connected with them. In other words, we're going to have Lord's Supper tonight. And when we have Lord's Supper tonight, we distribute the broken pieces of unleavened bread, picturing the broken body of Christ. And we take them as in remembrance of what Jesus did. Okay. But if it's a sacrament, we believe it's an ordinance, something God told us to do that we do, an ordinance. If it's a sacrament, people think that by doing that, it's contributing to salvation, that there's saving grace connected with it. And that would include some that would say there's saving grace connected with baptism. Now, there's many people in some of those groups that have put their faith and trust in Christ alone. That matters for destiny. But to be involved where the teaching is different than the scripture, that matters too. So important that, people have become so non-discerning in our day that they overlook doctrinal distinctions. I don't think we're in any danger of taking Baptist off our name tag. Baptist doesn't save, but we are Baptistic. Amen. That's not the most important thing, but it is important in my mind. Someone says, well, you know, I believe that churches ought to yoke up together and put down differences theologically for the sake of unity. Well, I believe that taking a stand against ecumenism does matter. I'm not very old. I'm going to say that again. I'm not very old. If you would help me out and make me feel better, and still nobody took the prompt. Okay. I grew up in a fundamental Bible-believing church as a young person. My dad was a pastor. Been involved in fundamental Bible-believing church as a pastor since 1983. And I have watched in those years what ecumenism does to doctrinal clarity. Case in point, talking with a minister several years ago who told me he believed in salvation by grace through faith. That sounds good, doesn't it? Right? Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God. He said he believed in salvation by grace through faith. I said, what do you mean by grace through faith? And the answer was interesting. He said that God, I have faith that God saves by grace through baptism. In that case, the thief on the cross couldn't have gone to heaven. Baptism is an outward expression of what has inwardly happened. We've put our faith in the crucified, buried, and resurrected Savior as ourself for our salvation, and we're dying to self to rise again to walk in newness of life. We believe the Holy Spirit has plunged us into the body of Christ when we receive Christ. But baptism, water baptism, is an outward expression, not a saving power. Not a saving power. There's a lot of churches today that are veering from basic fundamental understanding theologically of eschatology, things to come. I believe the Bible still teaches, as it did when God had Paul write it, that there will be a rapture. Amen. Where the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. No church invented that doctrine. The Holy Spirit gave it to Paul in the Scripture. But today, to lay down differences, some say, well, it really doesn't matter. It does matter. Because understanding of Scripture, when it gets mixed up, it causes all kinds of confusion in people's lives. I believe there is going to be a rapture with saved people caught up, and then the Bible teaches 7 years of tribulation on this earth, a horrible time that God will use to point the Jewish people back to Christ. Following that, when Christ comes at the end of that 7 year, there'll be a millennium reign where Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, and we'll be with him. Amen. And then following that time, at the end of the millennium, there will be the great white throne judgment when unsaved people from all the ages will be brought up from the dead, from their bodies and souls united to stand before God and be judged concerning those things that they did. But first and foremost, these are people that rejected Christ. And of course, then there'll be an eternal state where we'll be with God forever. Amen? What's that going to be like? I don't know for sure, but it's going to be beautiful. No pain, no more sickness. No night, because he's the light thereof. I think I'll kind of enjoy trekking through a city 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles of transparent glass. Or gold, like glass, transparent gold. That's amazing, amen? That's descriptive of what we're going to see. Hey, the Bible says that. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you." God's people need to know that where we're involved religiously does matter. How many children are being brought up and taught wrong biblically because a parent who got saved won't get out of their dead religion? Well, my family was always there. Well, it does matter. And then regarding rewards. Is salvation all that matters regarding rewards? Let's think about that for a couple of minutes. When a person gets saved, they're washed in the blood, they're made clean, they're given God's righteousness. But then, God expects them to live righteously because each saved person is going to stand before God for what's called the judgment seat of Christ, where every one of us will be scrutinized by the Lord pertaining to what we've done for Him or not for Him after we're saved. Thank God, there's the verse, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've all come short after we're saved, right? How many of you here this morning say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I've failed several times as a Christian after I got saved"? Would you raise your hand, please? All right, thank you. I'm not alone then. I was feeling awful lonely there for a minute. There's coming this time when we're going to stand before the Lord. Some people have this idea. He got saved there. That's all that matters now. For eternity, he's going to enjoy the bliss of heaven and everything wonderful like we're going to enjoy together just because we're saved. But this passage of Scripture teaches us that regarding rewards, it does matter. Not saying person that doesn't serve the Lord as a saved person isn't going to enjoy heaven. But I want you to notice, let's look at this passage real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Is it being saved, is that all that matters when it comes to rewards? 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man, now notice, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work, saved people, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a what? Okay. Heaven is not the reward. Heaven is the destiny for salvation. The rewards. Notice, if any man work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what? And let's read the last part together. Ready? But he himself shall be yet so as by fire. My brother-in-law and his family, when he was pastoring up in Nova Scotia several years ago, Vietnam veteran, had a Purple Heart, stepped on a landmine, lost a portion of his leg from here down, Larry Maxson. And he was pastoring up in Nova Scotia, and they had a house fire. And with the one leg, he managed to get his kids out of the house. but everything else they lost. They came out with just the clothes they had on and lost everything else. Even his Purple Heart, which, by the way, his children wrote to Congress and got a new one issued to him. Amen. Saved yet so as by fire is you lose everything you had, but you're saved. Now look at that verse again, would you? Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I heard of a fire just recently that it consumed everything except the Bible that was there. I forget where I heard it, but it looms in my mind. It reminded me of the time that I was driving up through Chicago with my Dodge Dakota. And I was on 294, and there was, I think there were three or four lanes of traffic there, and there was a truck on my left and a truck on my right, and I was in the center, and I was driving down 294, almost to Cicero Ave, heading west, I guess, or north, whatever that is there, and I saw smoke billowing back behind. I thought, man, one of those trucks is on fire. And as I started to pull ahead of the trucks, I noticed the smoke kept following me. And so brilliant as I am, I made the deduction, they're not on fire, I am. And I pulled off to the side of the road and fire was rolling underneath my truck, smoke, black smoke billowing out the back. And I jumped out of the truck and opened up the hood to see what was going on and saw what was going on, went and shut off the truck. Ran away from the truck, looked back, and I could see fireballs rolling under the truck. And I just knew that thing was going to blow. I remembered my Bible was in it. This was stupid. I ran back, opened the door, grabbed my Bible real quick, went back and waited for that thing to blow up. It never blew, by the way. What was important to me, though, at that moment was my Bible. What matters in the fire of God's scrutinizing judgment is what we've done with the Bible in our lives. That's what matters. If you notice here in this passage of Scripture, in verse 12 it says, if any man build on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, there's two types of ingredients there. We can put them in one of two categories. Wood, hay, stubble would be the category of things that are consumed in fire. Wood, hay, stubble, the fire will quickly consume it and it's gone, right? Smoke in the air. Gold, silver, precious stones are things that are not consumable in the fire. They're purified in the fire. And so the Lord says this, Every person that on the foundation Jesus Christ builds with wood, hay, and stubble, things that don't matter for eternity, at the judgment seat of Christ, they're consumed. But if a person builds gold, silver, and precious stones, things that do matter for eternity, biblical things, living their life as following the pattern of Scripture, those things, though tainted by our humanity, will be purified in the fire. And rewards taken. But those saved people who live for things that don't matter, the Bible says here, will suffer, experience loss. And it doesn't go into detail, but let's think for a minute. What could be lost? Let's say a young couple who knows the Lord as Savior and decides, we're not going to go to church. It's so tedious to go to church. And so they don't go to the Word. Their kids don't grow up hearing the Word of God. They do play baseball, of course, softball, soccer all over the country. And everybody, they'll do that. But, and then all of a sudden, the kids are grown. And they don't want anything to do with God. And the trumpet sounds. And we're caught up together. And the parents say, wood, hay, and stubble. My impact on my children isn't what it could have been. And suffer loss. Expand that. Friends, family, neighbors, fellow workers. If all that we have to talk about is carnal things with unsaved people, we may suffer loss. When it comes to rewards, our lives have to be built on the Savior. Amen? We build on the Savior. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. We build our lives on the Savior, and then we're rewarded based on our service. If any man's work shall be burned, he'll suffer loss, but himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And with that service, our affiliation matters. With what or with whom are we serving? The things I mentioned before, what does the church believe and teach and preach and so on and so forth. Our affiliation matters in their service. Our motivation matters. Are we self-serving or seeking the glory of men or seeking God's glory in our service? It matters. Not just what we do, but how and why we do it. And then actions do matter as well. When it comes to rewards. Notice in verse 16, know ye not that you're the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Now, let me just explain and clarify something there quickly. The two words, defile and destroy, are the same word. And it's saying if any man basically corrupts his life as a saved person, then they'll experience corruption in suffering loss. If all you want to live for is that car will rust and that's what you get. Because the Bible says in verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer a loss, but he himself shall be what? Saved. Saved. Our actions matter when it comes to our rewards. Our affiliations matter. Our motivations matter. That we build on the Savior and we base our service on things that are right according to the Word of God. It does matter how we serve the Lord and where we serve the Lord. The Apostle Paul wrote this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I trust made manifest in your conscience. Would you look at Colossians quickly? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Philippians, then Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians 3:1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You see, living for eternal things matters much. When I think of the need of a person, I think number one, they need to be saved. Then number two, they need to be living for God if they're saved. Amen? Interesting verse that I often share with, and I'll close here in 1 second. And if your watch stops, that'd be good. I'll close in 1 second here. I often share these verses with a family whose loved one has gone home to be with the Lord. couple of verses in that passage. One says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But let me read just two verses in that section I usually read. For in this we groan. Talking about in this body. God's prepared a tabernacle for us in heaven. It says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Interesting verse. He says, we're excited and can't wait to see Jesus. That is, if we have some works that will abide. You know who's not excited about seeing Jesus? Christians that aren't living for God. Christians that aren't living for God, they just soon wait for Jesus to come, right? And those that are ready to go home be with the Lord are those that they know they've been living for the Lord and they've been serving Him and they have served scripturally and faithfully. And therefore, rewards are laid up in heaven for them, living for eternal things. And when this old tabernacle that we live in is put down and they're clothed upon with a tabernacle from heaven, they're not found naked. Because their works follow them. Rewards in heaven. Amen? Amen. Bottom line, folks, it does matter. Amen. Salvation is not all that matters. When it regards destiny, it is. But when it regards our religious service, there's more that matters than just being saved. When it regards our rewards in heaven, there's more that matters than just being saved. And so what we as Christians have to do is say, you know what? I've done the most important thing that matters. I've received Christ. And now as a Christian, I'm going to live for what matters. Being saved matters first and foremost. Being an active Christian matters greatly as well today. Living for eternal things matters much. As saved people, let's make sure our lives for Christ matter like His price for us matters. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your word today. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that's not saved, may they realize the most important thing they could do would be to turn from sin in their heart, call on Jesus who died and rose for them to be their Savior today. And then, Father, I pray that You would impress upon every Christian, every young person, every adult, the importance of honestly living for Jesus. It matters. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. And I wonder if there's anyone here who'd say, Preacher, you know, I'm saved, but to be honest with you, my life for Christ is lacking. And by the grace of God, I want to make adjustments in my life that my life would count more for Jesus. Because I realize it does matter. Might be a friend I have that would get saved if I'd live for Christ. Might be a family member that would get saved if I'd live for Christ. And I know it matters. So by the grace of God, I want to make some adjustments in my life for the Lord, knowing I'm going to stand before Him as a Christian. I don't want to suffer loss. I want to experience the bliss and rewards that He has for me. I wonder if there's any Christian this morning say, Preacher, by the grace of God, I want to make adjustments spiritually in my life because I know it does matter how I live as a Christian. Would you slip up your hand? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I wouldn't ask what you're thinking about right now, but you know. And when we stand and sing, I'd encourage you as a Christian, either there at your own pew or come down to the front steps here or the front pew and make it your little private altar and just say, Lord, this and this and this in my life needs to make, I need to make an adjustment on it because it matters. I know it matters. If you're here this morning, the Holy Spirit's pricked your heart, I'd encourage you, make it different now. We're not promised tomorrow. Make it different now. Don't say, would God I had. Say, thank God I did. And with our heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody this morning? No one else is looking. You'd say, preacher, if I died right now, I do not have assurance in my soul that I'd go to heaven. And I'd like to make sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Who'd slip up their hand? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? In a moment, we're going to stand together and sing as we do. If there's something about which you want to pray, come down to the front and pray about it and slip back to your seat. If you need to speak to me, I'll be down in the front. I'll meet you there. I'll ask you to come when we stand. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, bless the invitation now for your honor and glory, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. If you take your songbook number 366, Have Thine Own Way. Let's sing through the verses of Have Thine Own Way. You come now as we sing. Have Thine Own Way. Absolute sway, fill with thy spirit till all shall sing. Christ only, always. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you're interested in each one of us individually. I thank you that you spoke to my heart in such a way that I knew I needed to do something about destiny. And thank you that the Holy Spirit pricked me for my need to be saved. And Lord, if there's anybody here like that that's not sure they're saved, I just pray in the quietness of their own heart, away from others, the Holy Spirit would continue to speak to the heart, that they might come to know Jesus as their Savior. And then, Father, I pray for every Christian here. Just help us to take steps forward in our Christian life because it matters greatly. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you are dismissed.